Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Writer Amy Ettinger loves ice cream, so much so that she actually tossed vegetables out of her freezer to make room for ice cream. She's no dilettante, though. Ettinger has deeply researched her favorite food from coast to coast, from old-fashioned soda fountains to high-tech labs. She shares that journey in her new book called Sweet Spot, An Ice Cream Binge Across America, and joins us from Berkeley. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you.
Just to give credentials to your madness, I'd like you to read a paragraph from the bottom of page 10 of your book. You have it there?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I live within walking distance of three high-end supermarkets that carry half a dozen artisanal brands and several locally made pints. I visit one of the shops at least daily, checking on the supply of my favorite flavors. I have also liked the local ice cream parlors on Facebook just to track their daily flavors on my newsfeed. One local creamery has four different scoop shops, but in a nod to Santa Cruz's laid-back style, has an online listing for flavors in just one of those shops. As a result, I must set aside 10 to 15 minutes after dinner on summer nights, just to call around and see which has the dark chocolate salted caramel.
You must. You just must do that.
I do.
So for you, as with for most of us, ice cream memories go back to childhood as a comfort food, a kind of go-to food when family dynamics got too tense. Do you still turn to it as a source of comfort, or would you call it something else now?
I do turn to it for a source of comfort. I write in the book that I got into a bit of trouble in Milwaukee.
Can you tell us a little bit about the story? What happened?
Sure, absolutely. So I went to Milwaukee to talk to the frozen custard makers there. Frozen custard is really a regional specialty. And while I was there, I was carjacked in the middle of the day in a very affluent area of Milwaukee. And it was the most violent moment that happened while I was reporting and researching this book.
Did you still go for the frozen custard?
So I did go after that happened. And then I have a recipe at the end of that chapter called I'll Never Go Back to Milwaukee. You know, the idea being that I'm just going to make it at home. But, you know, the other day I was looking at the COPS flavor forecast where they show the different special flavors at COPS frozen custard. And I thought, well, maybe I will go back.
So your travels and also your kind of academic studies have made you a bit of a scholar in terms of your exploration of ice cream, because you took a class at Penn State. What was that all about?
Penn State has one of the oldest ice cream making schools in the country. It goes back more than 150 years. And they have people there who are trained in the ins and outs of making ice cream. And folks who want to learn how to make ice cream, whether they're big corporations or small artisanal places, often go to Penn State. So I wanted to understand their backgrounds, what they had learned through the training, and to get a sense of what really goes into good ice cream.
One of the things I know you have learned along the way is that it's all about the base. So what is the base of a good quality ice cream?
Base is the milk, cream, sugar, and in most cases, eggs. Some places don't use eggs. There's a Philadelphia style that doesn't. But in most cases, it's the eggs. And it's what's mixed together and pasteurized to create the ice cream. Most places in this country really do rely on pre-packaged ice cream base because
really?
They have to.
Because they have to. Why?
There are very, very strict pasteurization laws in this country. So to get a pasteurizer, to get a permit for a pasteurizer is very complicated. And you're supposed to have what they call a clean room. It needs to be kind of separate from the rest of the facility when you're pasteurizing.
So by the way, eating a bad batch of ice cream can be kind of dangerous.
It can kill you.
It can kill you if it's bacteria infested?
Yes, and it has. And before there really were these pasteurization laws and people understood what they were doing, what they needed to do, there were a lot of cases of ice cream poisoning. And we still have that in the country, actually. Home chefs, unfortunately, don't always pasteurize their base the way they should.
So if you want to know if ice cream is really, really homemade and you go to, say, a farm stand or ice cream place around the corner, what do you have to do? Say, do you make your own base?
That's what I generally do. But you'll usually see a pasteurizer if it's there. Places are usually so proud of having it. They're so rare that they display it in a way where you're going to see it, or they'll have some kind of sign up, we pasteurize on site. But I would say 9 out of 10 times, no, more like 9.8 out of 10 times, you hear that, no, we buy our base prepackaged.
So if they do buy the base, they can still put their own signature on it in some way on the ice cream, right?
Absolutely. I can taste a difference in different ice cream shops who use the same base because they have different formulas for how they're doing their flavorings and what they're adding in those nuts or the mix-ins. You can really have your own signature on something even though it's coming from a prepackaged base.
Okay. Can I do a little lightning round at the end here, Amy?
Absolutely.
Okay. Cup or cone?
Cone.
Sugar or waffle?
Waffle.
Jimmy's or chocolate shots?
Chocolate shots.
Chocolate shots. Chocolate versus rainbow?
Chocolate.
And best ice cream ever in America, says you.
Hard to choose the best. Can I choose two?
Sure.
Or three? Okay. I love Leon's Frozen Custard in Milwaukee, Bassett's in Philadelphia, Kurt's in Seattle, and McConnell's in Santa Barbara.
Amy Ettinger's book is called Sweet Spot, An Ice Cream Binge Across America. Nice to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you.